Welcome to Torah Timecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esti Kimchi, and today we'll be studying Sefer Yehoshua Perek Yud Gimel, the 13th Perek. A recap of what we learned in Perek Yud Beis, the previous Perek. Here we had heard how all of the land had been conquered by Moshe. We got a recap of all the land that had been conquered by Moshe on the other side of the Yarden. And then the Navi had listed all the 31 kings that had been defeated by Moshe and Yehoshua together. And the 7 years of conquest had come to an end. In this Perek, it opens by telling us that Yehoshua is getting old and he's soon going to die, and much of Eretz Yisrael has still not been conquered. HaKadosh Baruch Hu nonetheless tells Yehoshua it's time to start dividing up the land. And the Perek actually goes ahead and then lists all the unconquered territory in Canaan. Yehoshua is going to start dividing up the land, first of all, with the land of Me'ever HaYarden, the land that belongs to the 2.5 tribes of Reuven, Gad, and Manasseh. And in this Perek, we're going to hear how Levi, the tribe of Levi, is excluded from an inheritance in the land because Levi's purpose was to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pasuk Aleph, V'Yehoshua zokin ba bayomim, V'yomah Hashem elav, ata zakanta ba'asa bayomim. Yehoshua is getting old, advanced in years, and Hashem says to him, you are old. It is almost the end of your life. Masudas says this wasn't an insult to Yehoshua at all. Some people unfortunately grow old before their time, but here Yehoshua genuinely was old. He lived a full life, and the Ibn Ezra says he actually probably was 104 years old at the time, so he really was quite old. This phrase, ba bayamim, or basa bayamim, coming in days, we have it in reference to four people in Tanakh. We hear about it with Avraham, with Sarah, later on with David HaMelech, and over here with Yehoshua. And the Zohar points out what this means. It literally translates, ba bayamim, coming with your days. And with all of these four great tzaddikim, we hear that they are people who lived every single day to their maximum. They showed up on each of their days. Each day was accounted for. Each day was lived to their fullest. Each of their days of their life was wholesome, meaningful, and complete. They literally came with their days. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yehoshua, V'ha'aretz nishara harbe me'od l'rishta. But you should know, even though you're old, there is a lot of the land that still remains needing to be possessed. Now, Yehoshua, Hashem is saying to him, your life is almost over, but there are still parts of Eretz Yisrael that require conquering. But Hashem is telling Yehoshua, enough trying to conquer the land. Now it's going to be time to divide up the land. We know the Medrash has told us that Yehoshua sort of dragged out these years of conquering because he understood once the conquering was over and the dividing of the land would take place, he was going to leave this world. And he was sort of trying to elongate his life, perhaps. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu here tells him, enough conquering, Yehoshua. Now it's time to start dividing up the land, even though there are pockets of land that are still unconquered. And the Pesukim now go ahead and start telling us the different parts of Eretz Yisrael that remains unconquered. Pasuk Beis, Zos Ha'aretz HaNisheret, this is the land that was remaining unconquered. Kol Galilos HaPelishtim V'Kol HaGoshuri, all the lands, the regions of the Plishtim, V'Kol HaGoshuri, and all the land of Goshuri. We know Goshuri actually has areas in the north of Eretz Yisrael also. Pasuk Gimel, where does their territory extend from? Min HaShichor, Asher Al Panei Mitzrayim, from the Shichor. Rashi and Radak described there that the Shichor is the river Nile, all the way down from Egypt, Ba'ad Gavul Ekron, Tzafona L'Kanani Techashev, and their border goes all the way up to Ekron area, that the northernmost tip of their border, and from then on north, it's considered Canaanite territory. The Pasuk describes that the Chamesha Sarni Pelishtim, there were five Pelishti lords who controlled this area, Ha'azazi, Aza, Ha'ashdodi, Ashdod, Ha'ashkeloni, Ashkelon. These were three cities that lay on the Mediterranean coast. And then we have the Hagiti, Vaha'ekroni, Gat, and Ekron, Vaha'avivim, and this other group of people called the Avivim. The Gat and Ekron are slightly more inland. And we've read previously that these areas still had giants living in them. And again, later on, we're going to meet Goliath, who comes from one of these cities, who comes from Gath. But all this area belonged to the Pelishtim and this group called the Avivim. The Gemara and Chulin describes who exactly these Avivim are. Is it just a name, another name for the Pelishtim? Maybe, in fact, this group of people, Avivim, with the group of Pelishtim who Avram Avinu had made a pact with in the time of Avimelech not to conquer their land. But in any case, this whole area remains unconquered. from that area going north along the coast, Miteman Kol Eretz Kanani. Now we're talking about the southernmost area of the land that belonged to Canaan. Pasuk Dalet tells us Ma'ara Shel Tzidonim. We have Ma'ara, which belonged to the Tzidonim. Ad Afeka, Ad Gavul Ha'emori. The area of Afeka, also all this on the Mediterranean coast, going all the way up to the borders of the Emori, and that was area that we had conquered. In Pasuk Hey, we're told the north areas that remained unconquered, V'ha'eretz ha-Givli, the land that belonged to a people called the Givli. We actually hear about this nation, the Givli, later on in Sefer Melachim Aleph, in the building of the Beis HaMikdash. There we're told the Yitzav HaMelech, this is a reference to Shlomo HaMelech, commands Vayisu Avanim Gedolos, Avanim Yikaros. He wants that there should be these large stones quarried, beautiful stones, Liyaseid HaBayis Avnei Gazis, that the foundations of the Beis HaMikdash will be laid with these beautiful hewn stones. And what does Shlomo HaMelech do? Vayisulu Bonei Shlomo Uvonei Chirom VaHaGivlim. He brings Shlomo HaMelech's own masons, Hiram's masons, and masons from the Givlim, this group of people who we hear about now, and they're the ones that are going to come and prepare the stones so that they can lay the foundations to the Beis HaMikdash. Anyway, this area that remains unconquered goes all the way up to the Levanan Mizracha HaShemesh towards the sunrise, Mi Baal Gad Tachas Har Hermon, to the area of Baal Gad, which we did conquer, which lies under the Hermon area, Ad Levo Hamas, until the entrance of Hamas. Hashem says to Yehoshua, even though all of this territory was not conquered by you, in Pasuk Vav, he says, Anochi Orishem Mipnei Bnei Yisrael, I will eventually drive them out. I will help Am Yisrael eventually drive them out from before Am Yisrael. And Rashi there says on the words, Anochi Orishem, I will drive them out. This is Achare Mosecha. This is going to happen, Yehoshua, only after your death. And the Pasuk tells us, Hashem says, Yehoshua, Rak hapilal Yisrael b'nachala kasha tivisacha. But please go ahead and start dividing up the land as I've commanded you. So even though there are going to be parts of Eretz Yisrael that are really not conquered, there are going to be a number of nations who are still going to dwell in the land, Yehoshua is being told to go ahead and start dividing up the land that the people can settle in their portions. Me'am lo'eith describes how there will be some tribes who will get portions with other nations still living in their territory. And Rashi tells us each tribe is now going to be responsible for getting rid of the Canaanites and the indigenous nations living in their portions. So Hashem tells Yehoshua in Pasuk Zayin, V'ata chalik et ha'aretz hazos b'nachala, letishas hashavotim, now go ahead and divide up the land into portions for the 9.5 remaining tribes. Tisha hashavotim, the 9 tribes, v'chatzi shevet ha-Manasseh, and the half of the tribe of Manasseh. And Matsudas there says, actually, Yehoshua has to first divide the land into portions, and then we're going to see later through the lottery system, he's actually going to give it out, apportion it out to the different tribes. Pasuk Ches sort of takes over from Pasuk Zion, where we'd heard about half of the tribe of Manasseh, and Pasuk Ches now tells us the other half of the tribe of Manasseh, Imo, a reference to the other half of the tribe of Manasseh, Haruveni v'Hagadi, and the tribes of Reuven and Gad, Lokhu nachalasam asher nasan lahem Moshe, they're going to take their portion in the area of the land that Moshe had promised them, be'ever hayardin mizrach, on the eastern side of the Jordan River, kasher nasan lahem Moshe eved Hashem, and again stressing that this was all done by Moshe, the servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now again we're going to have quite a detailed account of the boundaries of the 2.5 tribes on the other side of the Yarden. And the boundaries are repeated. These are going to be the lands of Sichon and Og. Sichon's territory is going to start in an area in a town called Ararar, which in the south is in the south by Nachal Arnon, a river which we said just empties out into the Yam HaMelech. If you're standing in En Gedi area and looking out across, you know, you wouldn't necessarily see it, but this is basically the area of Ararar, and this is the southernmost part of the boundary of Reuven. It's going to go all the way north along the plains to the area of Yabok. There it's going to go east. The territory extends east to the borders of Ammon. And going north, it's going to go up into the area of the Gilad. This whole area from the Yabok to the Gilad area is going to belong to God. And then north of that, approximately from the southern part of the Kinneret, all the way out into what we call the Golan Heights today, which is then called the Bashan area, this territory will belong to the half tribe of Manasseh. So even though we've already heard in previous Prakim about the lands of Reuven, Gad, and half of the tribe of Manasseh, we're again told here about their lands, and this time we're going to also be described the cities that they're going to fall into their portion. The Lev Aaron tells us that even though we've already heard about them being apportioned all this land, they actually wouldn't be able to take ownership of the land until all the battles had been fought and the land had been portioned out to the other tribes. Moshe and the Torah had told them that they were obligated to fight and remain until the land was subdued. And at this point, although we know from the Pesukim just previously that we've read that the land was not entirely conquered, we're told that the Reuven, Gad, and half of the tribe of Manasseh were now going to be allowed to take possession of their land. We do, however, hear in Pasuk Yud Gimel about some unconquered pockets of land on the eastern side as well that will still require being conquered. Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'lo harishu b'nei Yisrael ha-Geshuri v'es ha-Machasi. B'nei Yisrael don't quite conquer the Geshuri and the Machasi. V'yeshem Geshur u'macha b'kerev Yisrael ad hayom hazeh. And these two nations, the Geshuri and the Machasi, still live amongst Yisrael until today. And then we are reminded in Pasuk Yudalad, Rak Leshevet Halevi Lo Nasan Nachala, but the tribe of Levi will not get a portion, because Ishe Hashem Elokei Yisrael Hu Nachalaso Kasher Diber Lo, because they are considered the offerings of Hashem, the God of Israel, and they are his portion as HaKadosh Baruch Hu had spoken to him. Shevet Levi does not get an actual portion in the land. We know that Shevet Levi is not allowed a portion in the land. The Rambam is going to discuss that it's completely forbidden to them. But they are going to have 48 different cities sprinkled throughout the land of Kana'an and Me'ever HaYarden. And these cities, they're going to be given to them by the other tribes. Again, they're not allowed to receive a portion in the land, but they're going to be able to receive cities within the other tribes' nachalos, within the other tribes' inheritances. And the Levim are going to be scattered all over there. Their job is going to be to teach Torah and to guide Am Yisrael from their small cities. So let's go back for a moment to Birchas Yaakov, when Yaakov Avinu is giving a bracha to his sons on his deathbed. Yaakov says, Achal kein b'Yaakov v'afitzem b'Yisrael. This is going to be a reference to Shimon and Levi being dispersed amongst the other tribes. And we're going to see that the tribe of Shimon is going to get a group of cities in the Nachala of Yehuda, sort of around the area of Beersheba, but Levi is going to be liberally sprinkled all over Eretz Yisrael. These 48 cities that are going to be all over the land. And Chazal discussed that Levi acted with Azus de Kedusha, this holy energy, this holy passion, in order to upright and uphold the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was very, very upset that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name should be desecrated in the story with Dinah and Shechem. And this Azus to Kedusha, this holy passion, is actually such a vital ingredient in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Too much of it, and it's not necessarily a good thing, that's why they need to be sprinkled around everywhere. But if we have Levi sprinkled everywhere, all of us can be led and inspired and guided and sort of pulled along by their passion. The Rambam's language is beautiful. Shahuvda la'avodas Hashem l'sharso l'horos derachav hayisharim mishpatav hatzadikim l'rabim. Shevet Levi is divided out and separated in order to serve Hashem, in order to show and teach people how to live upright lives of tzidkus, to keep Torah and mitzvahs. I have to say, I grew up as a bas Levi and a very proud one. In fact, both of my grandfathers were also Levim. So my family was very much a Levi family. And I married my husband, a true Yisrael. When one of my sons was learning about Levim and the role that Levim played in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, he turned around to me and he said, it was very sweet. He said, you know, Ima, one day the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt, and you are going to be standing with Abba, with all the Yisraelim, but you are going to be so jealous of your father and your brothers, who are all going to be standing on the steps of the Beis HaMikdash, outside the Beis HaMikdash, playing musical instruments and singing and fully involved in the Avodas Kodesh and the Beis HaMikdash. So the Rambam actually continues with an amazing thought, and he says that really we are all capable of being Levim. He says, "V'lo Shevet Levi b'lvad." It's not only Shevet Levi who's going to sort of be apportioned out to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu like this. Rather, kol ba'elo olam, any man, kol ba'elo olam, any person, asher nadva ruchu oso, that his spirit sort of draws him, v'hevinu mida'o l'hibadel la'amod lifnei Hashem l'sharto, and he chooses and he desires very much to live a life of complete service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, life learning Torah, teaching Torah, and guiding others, a life fully immersed in Torah. What's going to happen? The Rambam continues, v'yeh Hashem chalko v'nachalaso le'olam ol'ol me'olamim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be his portion forever and an inheritance forever. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide everything that he needs in this world, in the same way that the Kohanim and the Levim didn't have to sort of be very immersed in this world because they were supported by the other tribes, because they went ahead and lived a life of Torah, mitzvahs, and teaching Klal Yisrael. Any Jew nowadays who chooses to live really a life of complete dedication to Hashem and bringing other Jews closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, teaching Torah and guiding, will experience the same si'ata d'shmai, the same heavenly assistance that the tribes of Kohanim, that the Levim also received. The Perek continues again with more information about the actual lands and the cities that were given to Reuven, God, and half of the tribe of Manasseh. Towards the end of the portion of the tribe of Reuven, we hear about the wars and the land that was conquered when Moshe Rabbeinu fought against the Midianim. We hear there about the Evi, the Rechem, the Tsur, the Hor, the Reva. All of these were princes. They were Midianites, but they sort of were subservient. They dwelt in the land of Sichon. We also there hear that Bilam ben Ba'ar, Bilam, who we know were from the stories in the Torah, who attempted to curse but ended up blessing Bnei Yisrael, he is also killed amongst all of those who fall over there. At the end of describing the portion of the two tribes, Reuven and Gad, then we get to the tribe of Manasseh. In Pasuk Kaftes, we're told by Yiten Moshe Lachati Sheva Manasseh. This is what Moshe had promised the tribe of Manasseh, half of the tribe of Manasseh. Vayihi Lachati Mate B'nei Manasseh L'Mishpachosam. And now it's going to list all the lands, all the city that was given to the tribe of Manasseh. Now it's interesting because if we look back at the story in the Torah with Reuven and God requesting land, we don't actually see Manasseh getting involved at all. They don't, sort of approach Moshe and ask for land like Reuven and God did. So how was it that they ended up with a portion on the other side of the Yarden? In addition to that, it doesn't really add up from what we know about the tribe of Manasseh. Manasseh ben Yosef. Yosef was passionately connected to Eretz Yisrael, to Eretz Canaan. Yosef, who spent most of his life outside of the land of Israel, was desperate to reconnect to Eretz Yisrael. In fact, he tells Bnei Yisrael, please don't leave Mitzrayim without taking my bones so that at least I should be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And more than that, we know that Benos Tzelophrad, these five daughters of Tzelophrad, who were so disappointed that they weren't going to have a nachala through their father because their father had passed away, comes and begs Moshe Rabbeinu that they should be zocha to their own nachala. These are girls from the tribe of Manasseh. So it sort of doesn't add up that Manasseh would have requested land on the other side. And actually, the Netziv tells us they did not request the land on the other side. Moshe gave them land on the other side. It was Moshe's suggestion. He said, these two other tribes, Reuven and Gad, are going to need Manasseh. They're going to need some of the descendants of Yosef who are passionate for Eretz Yisrael to allow them to remain connected, to allow them to still feel passionately connected to Eretz Yisrael. But there's another thing. We know that we give our children a brachos to be Ephraim v'chim Manasseh, to be like Ephraim and Manasseh. And one of the reasons we do that is because we say, just like Ephraim and Manasseh grew up, not necessarily in an environment that was conducive to growth. They weren't, you know, in their younger years, surrounded by the home of Yaakov Avinu. However, they were still able to survive in a very foreign land in Mitzrayim, and they still retain this connection to HaKadosh Baruch. We give our children a bracha that whatever circumstances they find themselves in, they can be like Ephraim and Manasseh and remain deeply rooted in their Judaism, growing and connected to Hashem. So here Moshe is telling the tribe of Manasseh, half of the tribe of Manasseh, it's actually a little bit less than half of the tribe of Manasseh, it was only two of the families of the tribe of Manasseh. But then the Netziv says Moshe was instructing that half of the tribe of Manasseh would go on the other side of the Yarden to keep the tribes of Reuven and Gad inspired and connected to the land of Israel, the land of Canaan, but also continually inspired and able to stay connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even whilst not living within the borders of Eretz Israel itself. The Perek ends with Pasuk Lamed Gimel and another repetition, Olashevet HaLevi Lo Nasan Moshe Nachala, that the tribe of Levi never received an inheritance in the land because Hashem Elokei Yisrael Hu Nachalasam HaKadosh Baruch Hu is their portion Kasher Diber Lahem, just as he had told them. Thank you for learning this perek together with me. Sefer Yeshua is dedicated by Nina and Chaim Schenker, memory of our dear grandmothers, Miriam Schenker, Richa Freeman, Teresa Schreiber, Bella Oppenheimer, Elena Shalom, and Shot Chayil, who live with the utmost commitment to Torah, Avodah, and Gemunas Chasadim, despite the physical and spiritual challenges they faced living in the United States, Israel, and Europe. May their example continue to inspire our families and the family of Klal Yisrael. I wish everyone a wonderful day.